We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the Esports Biz Show. I'm your host, Justin Jacobson. This week we'll be discussing college esports. Just as a disclaimer, nothing here is intended as legal advice, so all the information is for educational purposes only. This week's guest is Victor Casho. Victor is the director of Army West Point Esports. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thank you very much for having me. It's great to be here.
And thank you for all that you do for our country. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So to start, tell us a little about your past esports and gaming experience. You know, what was the first game you played?
Well, you know, for the sake of not dating my age, you know, like, it started really early. I mean, I was a young man. They introduced, I'm going to date myself here, Super Nintendo and different things like that, Atari, Sega, all those things. So it was very casual, just like recreationally, like most of us. And obviously, it was super exciting to be able to interface with a game. And as, you know, I get a little bit older, you start getting into high school. I was very big fan of the Mortal Kombat titles. Obviously, Zelda was a fun one. You know, RPGs, a lot of good things like that. And then when you get into high school, you obviously start getting into sports. You start to divert a little bit. But it's always still a nostalgia thing for me, but never really competitive on my end, just very recreational.
So how'd you kind of get involved in the esports academic space?
Well, my job officially for the Army, I'm a science, engineering, and analytics professional, what we call an SCACF or career field, and I specialize in military sims, so analysis, modeling, and simulations. So my role for the Academy is to execute, you know, analyze and execute simulations towards our population of cadets here in regards to their military training, their educational training, some elements of research if it finds itself there. But as you can imagine, we have a lab of computer systems and different technologies. So why not, you know, have a secondary ROI or return on investment on the computer systems that we have here and try to incorporate gaming program, esports program.
Amazing. So why don't we talk a little about the Army West Point Esports?
Sure.
How did the program start and why did you guys create it?
It came down to cadet interest. So many years actually. Little background, it started in 2020. So in 2019, I had three cadets kind of stand up at the end of class, like, hey, sir, we have a quick question. I'm like, yeah, sure, what's up? I'm like, can we use these computers for other things? I'm like, sure. So most of the staff and faculty here, and hopefully a lot of educators think like this, is whenever you have a student's interest, you have an opportunity to offer lessons and continued learning. So especially when they're passionate about something. So I saw an opportunity to say, hey, well, tell me how you want to use it and what's it all about? Oh, well, we play this game called Rainbow Six Siege. You know, we're really excited about it. And could we use these computers to form a team? I'm like, absolutely. Just go ahead and learn how to do it and do the whole process. And thus, they took on the effort and started the fledgling program. And here at the Academy, we have a vetting process for our clubs where we have a board of most of our senior officers within our education side and our military side. We make the presentation that, you know, we want to form this new club. What does everybody think? How is it going to enhance the cadet experience? What do you see right? What do you see wrong? And the whole board unanimously agreed that knowing how young women and men look today in regards to gaming and computing technology, this would be of value. And they approved the board. They approved the formation of it in 2020.
Amazing. So how does it kind of work? Do you have any academic programs in the school focused on the esports stuff?
Not just yet. You can imagine the history of the academy is rooted in engineering, electrical engineering, a lot of our geography and things like that. So finding a way for esports to either enhance or become parts of the curriculum is going to take some time. So what we will do, though, is we try to incorporate different elements of computer sciences and different, you know, cyber and things like that, because they're all touching it in some capacity or the other, but we don't have a full-out curriculum just yet.
Amazing. So how are they involved in the recruitment process? Is it like you're finding cadets, like I'm bringing them here, or is it just kind of the current
students? Oh, I wish. So as you can imagine, getting to the academy is a process. It's one we highly encourage people to try to explore, regardless of what you're looking at for your future for education. But right now, when I first started the program, we weren't really in a recruitment tail. There's different ways to recruit here at the academy. Obviously, we have a very powerful NCAA Division I program with Army football and all our different competitive clubs or competitive sports. And then, minus the NCAA component, we also have, like a lot of universities do, intramurals. We have different names for them, but when it comes down to is there's different women's and men's programs here, co-ed programs here. So what I've been recently briefed last year is that I actually could go look for that type of talent that's in the esports realm, just to be very aware that if I do speak to a young talent, that they're not going to get an immediate acceptance to the academy. They have to meet all the qualifications to get into West Point. And then once they do, we can look forward to them coming to the esports program and trying out for one of our varsity teams and things like that. So we're really excited about the ability for me to attend a kind of convention or any type of high school competition where I can present the Army West Point brand and say, hey, have you ever thought about coming to Army West Point to play esports? I just want to be very clear to families and players that, you know, you're still going to have to meet 100% of the qualifications. I'm not going to be able to like bring you in like an NCAA sport, because do a little research right now, and a lot of university programs don't have that ability. They can't really recruit similar to a lot of these varsity sports.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. I guess it's one of those things where once you can qualify, otherwise, then you could have this extracurricular opportunity, right?
It's absolutely.
Like, if you don't qualify, you can't be on the team. You can't get into the school.
Yeah, because we want them to be highly successful here at the academy. So, you know, the SAT scores are on point, everything, your community service, your whole development as an individual is solid, and then you make all the qualifications for the academy, come on, go ahead and finish your cadet basic training, and then we have something here called Club Night, where we have over 120 different clubs. We're one of the many competitive clubs that are here, and they can really walk by our table, fill out, you know, scan the QR code, let us get your email address, and come learn more about Army West Point Esports.
So how do you decide what games to compete in? Is it like a trial process?
Oh, well, the question there is like the main thing about our program is that we vetted it with the pillars of the academy. So the main components that are focused on character, the military pillar, academic pillar, and physical pillar. So we're not going to really pick a game. Not to say any of these games are bad in any way. They're all good in all their own different ways. But we're going to find a program that's going to look towards communication. It's going to look towards strategy. It's going to look towards design. You know, and the first thing we started with was Rainbow Six Siege. Again, we're not endorsing any game more or less than the other. But if you know about Rainbow Six Siege, there's really a great element of thinking through a problem, knowing that your opponent looks this way, and then you know the way you look, and you have X amount of time to get the task done. That resonates very well with what we're teaching kids, our cadets here at the academy, is, hey, have an 80% solution and have a little bit of room in your plan to adjust to problems and when things go wrong. So every platform that we play has some element of communication adhered to it. Some have argued me like, how does Rocket League work like that? I'm like, dude, if you don't play Rocket League in your program, you don't have a program. And Rocket League is such a fantastic game. But even in Rocket League, you have to have a strat. You got to know your job. You got to know, there's got to be a high level of communication to be highly competitive. And there's got to be team cohesion. So it all resonates with what we try to teach them to become.
Interesting. So like a 1v1 kind of Super Smash, yeah, where you just button smash, he's probably not going to win.
It is. Yeah, again, we don't want to take away anything from those games because arguably some of your listeners would be like, hey, I work hard, but I know you do. But it's harder to demonstrate. Like, I mean, Fortnite's a great game, and there's a level of strategy about knowing where you're about to be halfway through the game and where in the state of that you have to be in a Fortnite game, or you're going to lose. So there is a level of metacognition in that. But for us, it's difficult to say, hey, I've got this particular cadet that's great at Fortnite. You know, it's hard to like sell that because how are we benefiting the cadet's time? How are we resonating with the lessons we're trying to teach them if they're doing a singular game? So, you know, the NBA 2K games, Madden stuff is hard to resonate for some of the lessons here.
So what about determining what leagues and tournaments to compete in?
Well, interesting enough, we have a decentralized approach to our program. What we try to do is emulate the Army's model. So we'll have like our cadet in charge, who's in charge of all of our cadet activities. If this person knows mostly the things that cadets go through as far as time, being in the right place, uniform. Again, I'm a former soldier, but I don't understand the cadets' struggles day to day. This cadet in charge now leads the different game captains. So each one of our game titles has a cadet captain or a cadet co-captain, and they're responsible for the performance of the game title. So in that capacity, I don't actually dictate where they play. They may know best, like for example, our Rainbow Six Siege team likes to play in CR6, or they like to play in FACEIT. COD obviously is going to be training towards the collegiate league CCL. And then we have elements in NECC, we have elements in ECAC, and then different. So I let them operate decentralized.
Interesting. So currently, what kind of differences do you see between, you know, recruiting for, you know, your college versus maybe the regular college? Is it really just that like rigid component, or are there other things that, you know, you focus on?
Well, being a service academy, the reason somebody probably joined the service academy because there's a calling towards service, taking the oath of enlistment for any of our sister academies as far as Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, Merchant Marines. So there's already a reason why they did that. And then to think to themselves, well, I'm answering this call to service, and I get to still do the fun things I like. I actually get to play gaming, per se, in esports competitively. So that always resonates well. Now, when a young woman or man wants to continue their, you know, gaming or esports career in a college that's not a service academy, we hope that they would look for the overall feel, you know, motif and feeling of the college itself. You know, the brand name of the college, if that matters to them, you know, where it's located and, you know, what that university is going to provide to them for credentials and their future occupations. So my hope is that the program they see will do the things they want it to do for them to, you know, help them along.
Definitely. So do you see, you know, esports and the gaming starting to develop in some of the younger military academies, you know, like some of the high school age stuff? Is that like something that you look to, or?
Yeah, I hope so. Cause I hope like superintendents and principals and teachers and parents alike understand that at its core, a gaming environment or esports environment is going to give you opportunities to provide learning. It could even be as simple as a young woman or a man understanding a little bit more about themselves. They may be a little bit more, you know, inclusive. They may be a little bit of an introvert. They may need to look for this group that they didn't know was there before. They could resonate with the game. There's a lot of different things that could happen. So I hope they wouldn't get too hyper-focused on the actual game itself or more like what the game is going to provide them. You know, is for trying to enhance their students' experiences across anything. Obviously, our young children that are in the way before fifth or sixth grade age, you're concerned more about different things. But as they move from that grade school into a middle school, into a high school, you're trying to give them all these opportunities to become more self-defining, you know, gain a little more confidence in how they look and how they feel. So esports experiences allow that, you know. We all resonate now with full environments where there's a lot of, maybe there's music and there's colors and different things like that. So a young woman would come into the space like, this feels exactly what I expected it to feel like. And we want that. We want them to come out of their shell.
Right. And I think that's a really good point where it's like, you can't look at it like, oh, they're playing video games. They're not studying. This is not that.
No, it's not. And you can almost say, I would hope for a parent that it would empower them to say, you know, you're obviously not going to do a this for that kind of thing. But look, we do it with our students. If you're going to come up here and grind for an hour and a half, you owe me 3 hours worth of studying. you know, don't, I'm going to meet you halfway. You know, we understood that our cadets were doing it regardless. So instead of trying to like cut it all the way off and say, no, this is wrong, this is wrong, we wanted to understand why they were doing it. Why was the passion there? If we do understand it as administrators, then let's do a good job of presenting it and incorporating it, and then actually have an opportunity for us to use it to our success. You know, and then we're able to blend lessons into it. It's like, hey, if you're going to build this team, talk to me about how you thought about its construction. And this is what our young officers are going to do. They're going to be handed new problems in the Army. They're going to have to provide solutions to those problems. It could be with new technology. It could be with the application of new technology, new softwares, cyber securities, and then come up with solutions to be able to offer to the Army.
Right. I think that's a great point that, you know, there isn't always just one right answer. And today, this is where students, you know, with problem-solving games, you know, inter-team dynamics. Like, there's always going to be issues between people when you're in a military barracks or you're at West Point or wherever you are. People are people. So figuring out how to work together, get an objective, put your differences aside, and, you know, that is, you know, key. You can only learn it by doing it.
Correct. And you bring up a good point is we find in certain situations that there's arguments. Like how many times it happens in a lot of our, I hate to use the term traditional sports because there isn't really a delineation between esports and sports. We're trying to break that mold. But like our players get into a situation in a competitive environment. They argued with each other. After the argument, how did they resolve their differences? How did they get a chance? So what's nice about our program here is our young officers are going to see this a lot. They're going to see it a lot with soldiers. They're going to see it a lot with different age groups and how do they get to resolutions? You know, do you pull everybody in the room? Do you vet all your arguments? Do you vet all your different perspectives and then get towards solutions? I see a lot of my players just yelling at each other, like, "Oh, you were supposed to be there. You're supposed," and like, I will say, "Hey, okay, time out." But we got all that off our chest. So where's the solutions now? Oh, okay. So it's actual deliberate, authentic experience.
And I think that's one of the great things about this. And that's one of the things that, you know, the scholastic space in particular kind of brings that you could, you know, the kid that maybe isn't going to be the football star or the basketball star can be a star. Like, you know, the Garden State Esports, I was at their championship. It's like these kids won the Overwatch championship and the enthusiasm and passion and the way they were hugging each other and holding that belt. It was like the same way as if you just won the national championship in football.
100% exactly the same because of the amount of passion that happened for the person that mattered the most, and it was that student or that individual. Because as administrators, we've got to be the ones that take a step back and say, hey, this isn't about us. This is about our students. And is this a true, true feeling for them? I've had it, you know, several times with our players, just a straight up authentic yell of excitement that is a core memory.
That's amazing. Yeah. So what kind of unique experiences are you able to provide the students that maybe other schools can't, you know, in your esports program?
I guess, you know, we have a lot of resourcing and we have a lot of support from, again, there's a big difference between your taxpayer dollars as they're used in regards to what we call appropriated funding and then non-appropriated funding. We have avenues of support through different agreements that allow sponsors to work with us through non-exclusivity and things like that. So, you know, as a Sims professional, I do a really good job of looking at dual and triple ROI and equipment. So obviously we have really strong competitive systems. We have a good space to work in. There may be other universities that are fighting through this right now because some programs don't recognize the impact of gaming and they're trying to use old equipment. So we actually made a very strong effort into making sure we have good, durable pieces of equipment, things that can work for over a 2 to 3 year span. We can get anywhere from 100 to 150 cadets. So I think we do a good job of that. We do a good job of a really powerful brand. As you can imagine, Army West Point is a global brand. So when you wear the black and gold, you know, there's a lot of pride in representing the nation as a collegiate esports program. I would say we're America's team, but a lot of people would argue me about that. But again, we serve our nation. We serve you. We serve everybody. So expectation is that we are very professional in nature. And, you know, our slogan is win with honor.
So what advice you have for students, you know, potentially wishing to join the program or apply and, you know, see what you guys are doing?
The biggest thing we would want somebody to do is really care about themselves. Care about who you are, the things you're passionate about, your family unit, even if you're not necessarily raised by somebody who would be a biological father or mother, a grandparent, whoever it is. What does that mean to you? what kind of person do you become? What do you believe in? What are you willing to fight for? That's ultimately what we would want at the academy. Somebody that's put in the time for their academics. Remember, your academic strength counts for 60% of your admission here. The other 30% is a combination of leadership traits, community service, you know, the things that define who you are. And then that holistic, you know, person is what's important, because what the Army is going to do as they start to develop you as an officer is they're going to strengthen that thing about you. And they're going to make this really strong officer that has compassion, that has, you know, the fight and the will to, you know, to serve. Because every one of our officers serves the people that they lead. You know, they're not necessarily leading in the front. They're there to serve them and fight for them as well. So we want to see that from the person that's working to become somebody here, become a cadet.
Amazing. So what's your favorite part about working in the esports and gaming space?
I like the challenge right now, because we're actually defining, right? Collegiate is going through this state right now, and a lot of my counter directors, I think, would agree with me, is, and I think we all agree that it's about the students first. So we have an opportunity to design the foundational components of how collegiate should be considered. Students first all the time. Graduate your students. Get them out of here. Give them the tools they need to succeed. We're pretty much establishing the pathways. You know, we're fighting the good fights. When people want to take advantage of a brand, we're going to stop them. Like, no, don't do this. These are young men and women. So I'm lucky enough to be a servant to the nation. So, like, nobody's really going to come to Army and say, hey, we own this brand. Now, like, no, you don't. So I'm the type of guy that can walk in and really just say, hey, no, you're not going to, and it's really not going to hurt me. But there are a couple programs that are really relying on support from outside elements that won't have that same capacity as we do as a service academy. I'm excited about taking on the challenge and coming up with a plan and then seeing if that comes to fruition. Made many a mistake saying, hey, this is what it's like, and nope, it's not. It completely tells a 180 on us, and we're like, wow, we were dead wrong with this whole idea. Let's go back to the drawing board and start again. We're lucky enough to have this opportunity to work the long game here, not necessarily hope that this semester was the best semester. No, I'm on a long game plan here.
Amazing. I think it's so great that, the academy itself supports it and sees the vision and, because some of these schools, I've dealt with some, I'm sure you heard stories, like, it's not like that. The upper management, the presidents, they're just not, they don't see it. They just don't think they want to spend the time, the resources, and it. They're just like, it's just video game. And I think that's
It is. It can be frustrating at times. It could be an individual thing. It could be a lack of right information. I would encourage anybody, if you're in a position, is just try to inform. Try to bring the right information forward. There's a lot of great literature reviews. There's a lot of great studies that are happening now that can be brought to the table as a resource, as a source for real good information. Try to avoid speculations. You know, obviously you want your program to succeed, so you may grease it a little bit, like, hey, we're doing great, because you want to get some kind of funding. Just be honest, because the more honest you are up front, the longer your system is going to get, support, and the longer you'll be able to, to sustain it. We're not in any rush here at the academy. One of the things that usually bothers me is that I have a young person that comes to my program. They'll spend about 43 months in the program, and then they won't see a lot of change, or they'll see it right at the end, right when they're about to graduate, and they kind of be a little frustrated, like, man, I wish this was here when I was here. Like, hey, I'm sorry. Change is slow sometimes, and not everybody's going to get a chance to really experience it.
I think that's kind of part of it. Is like, I always think, I wish I had the classes that I'm teaching now. They would have been so great.
And that's kind of the thing, like, leave it a little bit better than you found it. Understand that you did make an impact. As much as it doesn't resonate right away, you did. You did. I mean, you fought the good fight. I had guys compete and gals compete. We average about maybe 110 games a year, maybe 50 to 60 games a semester. Every one of those matches mattered, because it put our brand against a really well-named college. It put our brand against a student-led program. It put our brand against anybody. And that just resonated with collegiate, and it just showed that there's strength in the college system.
It's amazing. So what's the future of college esports, on the competitive side, maybe the academic side?
It's tough, man, because it's the wild, wild west right now. I mean, obviously, a lot of people are positioning themselves to be what the NCAA – again, we're not saying anything bad about the NCAA, but they haven't made a decisive decision to be involved in it, because it is a really dynamic, changing thing. If you look at just one game, you can make decisions whether it's co-ed. You have to make decisions to protect the athlete, keep them safe, make sure that their best interests are always there. And I think the NCAA does that a good job of that right now with sports. But imagine esports. You know, how many games could be put into consideration? How many different rules happen with these different games? Oh, by the way, they're changing the whole entire game in 2 years.
Yeah, right. So, game developers control everything, so you don't really control anything.
No. So right now, there's a lot of positioning for this next company to kind of fill the void that maybe the NCAA didn't provide. But again, I think we just got to be informative in nature. Everybody that's taking on the challenge has to open up their doors and just provide information, because we're doing that well from a bunch of different directors. What I know, they know, and what, you know, and I can learn from them. A lot of my mentors are guys that have been doing this for years, and the information flow has to be consistent.
And I think that's the biggest thing, is that everyone that's doing a good job needs to realize that all of us doing well helps all of us. That
absolutely.
The more programs that are successful, the more universities, the better everyone has it, because then it's more cohesive and it starts to resemble, like you have, like you said, in the NCAA, where you have hundreds of colleges that this is just what they do.
Yeah. And if you look now, even on the social media sites, the future of it is that colleges are sustainable. You know, they're rooted in their history of their college, the different mission statements that are there. Look, our school was founded in 1802 with Thomas Jefferson. You think we're going anywhere anytime soon? Obviously not. You know, we have our finger on the pulse of what our of the population of the United States is like and the things they care about. It's not a political thing. It's more or less we're a composition of the young men and women in this nation that are being trained to be officers in the Army. So everything that comes to bear to support them is going to be kind of the sign of the times. You know, if you look back in the 1970s, there's probably something else that came up that was fresh and new that the Academy adapted into, you know, taking care of their students at the time. I think all the universities are going to do that. Arguably, if you go into a board meeting, somebody may raise the question, hey, what's fresh and new? What can we do? All of a sudden, every campus has a certain game on it because this is the new thing. And they just want to connect with their students. They want to resonate with what they care about. And then they want to make sure that they're learning is still being delivered, you know, appropriately.
Definitely. I think that's the biggest thing is, like you said, servicing the students, making sure that absolutely. This is something that they enjoy and they get, you know, great experience. So have you gone to any LANs, any in-person events with the team?
Oh, yeah. Believe it or not, LANs are actually more prominent than people think. The challenge, obviously, is travel and different funding support. We've been lucky enough to compete at the highest levels. We've gone to the CECC. This will be our second year in a row via the Service Academy qualifier. Local lands are always great because we can bring money into local business, you know, especially when esports is trying to find their foothold in physical spaces, because you have a difference between online competition, small prize pools, and then physical tent pole locations that are, you know, trying to do the best they can. We'll do that as a service, you know, to show up to these things and really ensure that we have a presence.
So it's kind of the last kind of question. I wonder how it works out is, how is that, you know, the name, image, and likeness and, you know, that impact? Is that like a thing? Just, you know.
Yeah, it's tough because you can imagine that any individual that's in a service academy is actually part of a contract to become an officer in the United States Army. So not to say they don't have rights or permissions, but they're actually a public servant at this point. So when they do represent the Army West Point brand, it's a branded controlled thing. So them as an individual, they can do things on their own. They can have their own social media. They can have all that kind of stuff as long as they're staying within the guidelines of being a good person. You know, we care a lot about character here. But unfortunately, I don't think they're going to be able to take advantage of name, image, and likeness because of their status as a cadet. If they do separate for whatever reason, they're more than happy to go on their own and develop themselves as an individual and try to take advantage of that at another university.
Interesting, yeah, because that's one of the things that I thought was very unique about college now is that, like, you could have signed a pro or a streamer or someone really successful that's not in this, and it might have been impactful, right? I always think about the Jeremy Bloom situation with the football and the skiing. But, like, it's like he had to give up skiing. But, like, at this point, you could still be signed to Team Liquid and have your HyperX deal and compete at college, and there's no problem.
No problem. And that's where, like, I don't think a lot of universities are going to get into people's way of their issues. They're just going to try to reinforce that if you're any type of representation of their brand or their college, that you do right by being a good steward of that university. Don't go onto social media and start doing all kinds of wrong things, because that doesn't bode well for anybody.
Definitely. So I think that's amazing. So what's the future for the program? You know, where are you guys trying to head?
We're going to pay attention to, you know, how things change. We'd be a great advocate for what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong for the esports. But again, transparency for what we've learned. We obviously want to be a household name in regards to a collegiate success in esports. When you think about New York, you want to think about Army West Point as one of the major programs in the state. Eventually, we're going to do a lot better to get into national championships and things like that. Just want everybody to understand of it's always been about student success. We're not doing it to get the brand a certain way. We're not doing it to do it like that. We just want to know, like, I guess I use this analogy all the time. When you play wiffle ball with friends or you play baseball at home, you know, still playing with friends is always fun and exciting, but it just gets that much better when people are watching. And you got to have a little bit of a crowd screaming for you, and then you kind of like pump your chest out a little bit more when 20 or 30 people are watching. Same thing. We were going to play anyway because we know that they want to compete, but why not share with everybody and have a good time?
Right, get the recognition, wear the jerseys, the esports jerseys with their name, get that recognition.
Yeah, because the students like that stuff, and we get back to the student welfare and the student, you know, mindful, healthy minds. The media, the first thing my player said is like, "Hey, can we get jerseys now?" I'm like, you know, that's the kid in them coming out, you know, and we understand that. We're administrators and knowing that, but they understand that the money for that is not going to come out of taxpayer dollars. It's going to come out of you working at a concession stand or us getting some sponsor dollars to help that. And then that's how it worked for us. And then they got the jerseys, they go with the brand. You can see that we've developed a BSN store. The same way most universities would do it.
Amazing. So I like to end each episode with my three questions. So what's your favorite game to watch?
Ooh, good one. The ones I actually understand what's happening, because at this point, there's some games that it's like every color in the rainbow is moving at 100 miles an hour, like Overwatch or anything like that. So I do enjoy League of Legends. There's a level of strategy to League of Legends that's very, very interesting and very intriguing. I'm a big fan of COD as well because there's an element of knowing where you're supposed to be, knowing your job, and then just movement, action, and things like that. So right now, top two favorites are League of Legends and Call of Duty.
What about your favorite game to play?
Ooh, my favorite game to play. So I just dabbled in Helldivers 2. You know, that's just a complete roller coaster ride. But I kind of fell off on that because of time. But what did I play before that? Oh, I'm a Destiny guy. I was Destiny, you know, beta, you know, Destiny 1. Fell off a little bit for me because it became a rinse and repeat kind of thing for DLC. But I was very intrigued by the story. I'm a sci-fi guy. So the whole idea that there was a whole other world was, you know, was really fun for me.
Amazing. What about your favorite video game character?
Oh, wow. That's a good one. Wow. Again, I'm going to go back to Mortal Kombat, and it has to be Scorpion.
Okay.
Yeah, Scorpion's a big, you know, I love it with Scorpion. So, yeah. Yeah.
And that's one of those iconic ones. So, you know,
absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us. This was, you know, extremely insightful. So tell me where they can connect with you and learn about what you're doing at the program.
Yeah, you can catch with us on social media on either X or Instagram just by @ArmyWPEsports. You can Google us as Army West Point Esports and see all those links yourself. You can find me on LinkedIn. Most of our LinkedIn stuff is through me as Victor El Castro. And then we also have a company on LinkedIn. Twitch, as always, full name Army West Point Esports. We're trying to get more into streaming. We're going to do a little bit more about having our cadet representatives stream on their own to really tell our story. But at the same time, we try to stream a lot of our competitions as much as we can. Getting down to cadet time and availability is always interesting. But yeah, we try to do a good job of streaming as well. But yeah, search for us on Google, Army West Point Esports. You'll see it all.
Amazing. So thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in and, you know, for joining us. And everyone, definitely check out what they're doing. And if you're interested in, you know, your high caliber candidate that wants to play on some really great computers and serve the country, reach out to my guy, Victor.
All right. Thank you.
So again, everyone, make sure to follow me on Twitter, Justin J ESQ. Check Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube for all our past episodes.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. Hey, goodbye, everybody. Hey, remember, I beat Navy.